الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وألقي السحرة ساجدين قالوا آمنا برب العالمين، رب موسى وهارون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. A young boy, alhamdulillah, may Allah bless him. One of the things he said today to me was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks a lot about Musa alayhi salam. What are the lessons can we derive from Musa alayhi salam? And you know, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes people ask questions that can create, inshallah, change in people like ourselves. And those of us that have heard the story of Musa alayhi salam so many times over and over. So I asked this young boy as I came in, I asked him, so you don't know the story of Musa alayhi salam? And this is what he said. He says, I know the story of Musa alayhi salam, but can you explain why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Musa alayhi salam as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does in the Quran? And this is a very important question. And let us very briefly cover it for one purpose, So that way we can increase and better our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we know full well, and we've heard this repeatedly, that the mother of Musa alayhi salam is told, take your child and place your child in the Nile River. Outwardly, this is a very destructive thing for a person to do. In fact, in today's time, we call it child abuse. Taking your child and placing it in the river and basically letting it go with his little sister running on the bank or on the side to see exactly where this child is going to end up being. My brothers and sisters, the first lesson you learn in life, is marrying that individual, male or female, that is connected to Allah and going to follow what Allah wishes for that person to follow. And this is the most challenging thing for every individual to come in contact with. I think it was day before yesterday we were talking. And you know, humans by nature, we always think we can outsmart someone else. This is human nature. That's how humans are. I mean, you know, I went to college and I went to school and you know where I've been before and you know how many people I've dealt with. You know, like for example, I'll say something like, you know how many questions I answered online? I think it is over 3,000 by now. You know, what is left for me to... This is how humans are. But we are forgetting a very important thing. Now take, for example, the last few seconds, right? We are talking. For the most part, you are hearing what I'm saying. But as you are hearing what I'm saying, undoubtedly the human mind is so powerful and intricate, you were also thinking about other things. And you were thinking about what I'm saying, why is he saying it, who is that little boy that asked this question, what is going on in my country, wherever my country is from, what did my scholar over there say about this, why is he saying this right now, and why didn't he say it last week? Now, how many people we have here? Let's say 50 people, right? 50 people. Each one in the past 2 minutes had no less than 20 to 30 thoughts flying through their brain. Okay, maybe you are fasting, so maybe 10 thoughts. Fine, wonderful. Multiply the 10 thoughts by 50 people. 500 things went through our mind. Now, if we are creating a project on just what we are talking about right now, can you see the discord that can possibly take place before we come to a connected level? What is the point here? Don't try to outsmart the individual that you want to marry, male or female. And the lesson, the first lesson we learn here is, make sure that person is connected to Allah the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to be connected to Allah in the manner in which He wishes for them. Because if you play with this system, you are now
understand very importantly, you are going to possibly take part in a shirk. How can you take part in a shirk if you marry the wrong person? Because now you have to monitor that person. And what does the Quran say? Who must you monitor first? Yourself. First, you got to put yourself right. Quran, simple ayah. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. You know, yesterday, you can ask Brother Ghassan a tape for yesterday. There was a fellow that came. He had an issue. May Allah make it easy for this fellow. He had a massive issue. And we trying to help the fellow. And may Allah reward Brother Ghassan for this. I don't know if he did any other good deed, but this was one good deed that I saw him do. And we trying to now get him focus on the problem that he has. And we trying to help him however we can. And this guy is jumping from topics from California to Atlanta to Colorado to people are after him to people. Brother, wait. Tell us, how did you get here and where you want to go from here and how can you get you there? And he goes back again in this loop and in the story and in this and in that. Brother, we know your story. It's a wonderful story. It's a negative story. Brother, we just want to know one thing. How did you get to Utah? And how can you get you out of Utah to where you need to go? And this guy had us going helter-skelter on the topic. And it took us, I think, I don't know how long that discussion. What was it? 1 hour? Just went on. And what is the point here? The point here is our duty, according to this given surah, to this young boy over here, is to make sure in life you get connected to the right individual. Because if you don't get connected to the right individual, they're going to play all these thoughts in their brain and in your brain, and they're going to affect you. And once they affect you, you're going to think about them more than you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Shafi says it very beautifully. Once a person gets involved in thinking about people more than thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then undoubtedly they are going to be part of shirk. So the first lesson we learn from Musa alayhi salam is letting go of shirk and connecting ourselves to what Allah wants us to connect ourselves towards. Another lesson we learn, after every difficulty in life, if we are sincere, Allah will create an opening. And for this beloved mother of Musa alayhi salam, what was the opening? Nobody is able to feed Musa alayhi salam. Nobody is able to connect for his development. And the king, Fir'aun, at that point in time, he decides every boy must be killed, including this boy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that the wife of Fir'aun will fall in love with this baby. What a cute, wonderful child. Of course, he's a prophet. Allah gives prophets a unique nur that comes out that is very different from any other child. And as a result, there is this connection that takes place. But she tries to feed. They have employees that are trying to feed. And they are unable to feed this little child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather than having this child killed, rather than destroying this mother, for doing what she had done and planning what she had planned, makes her go into the house of Fir'aun. Not only take care of this boy in the house of Fir'aun, but at the same time receive the payment of Fir'aun for taking care of this wonderful child. So my brothers, again, coming back to the first part, we plan, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهِ. We read this ayah, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهِ. That people plan and they keep on planning. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And this is how we're going to win this and this is how we're going to win that. And this is how we're going to attain this and this is how we're going to attain that. Humans are that way. That's how humans are. And the Quran says, وَوْفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. وَوْفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. That when things get too tight, this is what we have to say with our hearts. Oh Allah, I hereby leave the matter to you. I hereby leave this individual to you. Oh Allah, I leave this transaction towards you. Oh Allah, once you say this, you'll see a magnificent connection between yourself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what this entire month is all about. This entire month is all about connecting on that super highway between ourselves and our Creator. That's all this month is about. And let me tell you, the more we're trying to connect with Allah in this month, this is how the system is. There's going to be resistance towards that. And the more we fight that resistance, and we say, oh Allah, the shaitan is locked. So if shaitan is locked and you can't help a legitimate poor person, now it is not shaitan. Shaitan is locked. If you can't come to the masjid on time, when shaitan is tied up, then it is not shaitan anymore. It is your ill planning. If you cannot meet that friend of yours that you used to meet in your childhood, and now you ignore him, because 20 years ago, as I mentioned that one story, the guy, I think, didn't help him in the airport at Lax. You know, the fellow came 15, 20 years ago, and they were two supposed friends, and this guy was very busy picking up his bag, and the other guy didn't see him, but he thought he saw him. That's it, from now on, because you ignored me in a new place, you thought you were more superior to me, now you're not going to, and I'm not going to invite you for my child's wedding, and I'm not going to make sure, and I'm going to make sure my child, as one brother said, I'll make sure my daughter marries a non-Muslim rather than marry that man's son. This is not from the side of shaitan in Ramadan. This is now from your own self that you are doing this. So this is what Musa alayhi salam is all about. He is about, and his mother is about, fighting unnecessary desires while remaining focused on what Allah wishes. So anyway, Musa alayhi salam grows up in this given palace, and later there comes a time in which he's inviting Fir'aun towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, something you are going to be involved in as people over here, whether you like it or not. Once you have the name, whatever your name is, whether it's a obvious name like Muhammad Ali, or whether it's a little bit more complicated names, because nowadays we try to make our children's names such that, you know, people are confused whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim. It's the way in which we try to operate, because we're doing it to protect them. But how much can you change of your child's name? And how much can you change of the last name? And even if you change those two things, how much can you change of the features? And after you change the features as much as you can, for how long can you maintain it? And eventually someone is going to walk with you that looks like a Muslim, and the others are going to realize, yes, this person was faking it, but they are exactly what they are. They are Muslim. So my point is, how long are you going to play? So this aspect of da'wah, we are going to do. Whether it's a challenge or whether it's ease, we are part of it by default, just by being Muslims. So Fir'aun goes, and thereafter the magicians come. And to the young boy that asked the question, what does the king's magician do? They start sending these snakes. And these snakes come. And they want to swallow, and they want to eat up, and they want to attack the likes of Musa alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's something very magnificent. Just for example, with a strike of a stick, with a strike or with the acceptance of the great work of Musa alayhi salam, the snake of Musa alayhi salam, which was really not, as some would say, a snake in its literal form, swallows up, devours, and takes away the power of Fir'aun. Now again, look what happens here. People that are arrogant in nature, they will not change who they are. They are just the way they are. Because what did Musa alayhi salam say? For example, لَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ آذَنَ لَكُمْ. Those of you who know Arabic, لَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ آذَنَ لَكُمْ. Because when these magicians saw the power of Musa alayhi salam, obviously they had to fall down in prostration. Wow! This is magnificent. Wow, this is obviously a man of God. Wow, this is what we have to give ourselves towards. So when Pharaoh saw that, he didn't say, you know what, these folks are right. These folks are right. This is what he said. He said, how can you believe in Musa alayhi salam before I gave you permission to do so? Imagine. I mean, have you ever heard anything like this? These people believe in Allah. Now they are giving themselves up to Allah. And Pharaoh in his arrogance, what does he say? لَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ آذَنَ لَكُمْ. Okay. I know you're right to do what you are doing. But please, get my permission first. Then I will allow you to do it. So even in the face of adversity, in the face of being brought down, in the face of being a total loser, I've got to show my face. I'm the winner at the end of the day. What is left? The same thing takes place later on. So young man, to you, that when you are wrong, you have to accept you are wrong. When you are right, alhamdulillah. And you don't just say, I'm right because it's me. You have to say, Allah guided me. That's why I'm right. Because it's only through the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are able to make good decisions. And it is only through the help of shaitan. Why I say help? It's because some of us are seeking his help. How do we seek his help? When you refuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously you are seeking the help of something else. Or if it's not the help of shaitan, like in the month of Ramadan, then it is only through our nafs that we are able to corrupt ourselves and those around us. So anyway, they thereafter prostrate after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them this opportunity to be guided, and they were willing to go through tremendous amount of grief thereafter. لَوَقَطِّئَنَّ أَيْدِيَاكُمْ وَأَرْجِلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ. What does this mean? Because you didn't get my permission to prostrate, because you didn't do that, because you didn't take my permission to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm going to make sure that you are going to be cut off in opposite direction. So your right hand and your left foot. Now imagine, if you lost your right hand and your right foot, at least you can somehow function. But imagine now, you cut off a person's right hand and left foot. Now what do you do? I mean, it becomes even more challenging in nature. But one thing that was very magnificent about these people was the following. You do what you have to do. You do what you need to do. You play your game. You want to destroy, you destroy. You want to kill, you kill. You want to wipe out, you want to wipe out. By the way, before these people, it was written for them to be destroyed. They were offered by Pharaoh positions upon positions. Oh magicians, if you win Musa alayhi salam, we will give you this, we will give you that. You will get palaces, palaces of gold, palaces of silver, positions beyond what you have right now. Therefore, to the young one again, very important point here. You have to realize it's not about position. It's not about how awesome people think you are or how bad people think you are. It's nothing about that. It's about doing the right thing. That's all it comes down to in the end. Because that's all you will take with you to the grave. The good deeds that you have done. Nothing more, nothing less. Your money, left behind. Wonderful children, left behind. Family, left behind. Everything, gone. You know, death is a very vulnerable thing. Think about it. You're the most powerful man, most powerful woman. Forget about rubies. Your rubies are the size of golf balls and eggs. Wonderful. But the moment you drop dead, you are very vulnerable. So vulnerable that someone else has to wash you. Someone else has to clean you. You are just there staring. You can't do nothing. This is a reality we all are going to face. And the people of Fir'aun, when they converted to Islam, this is what they realized. You do what you have to do. You want to cut, you want to chop, you want to kill, you want to maim, you want to send us out, do what you need to do. Now we have changed our lives and we are giving ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a challenge every one of us is going to face. Fir'aun, in conclusion, was so arrogant that when this people, the people of Fir'aun, were going away, they were moving away. As they were going towards the ocean, as believers, we will also have this thought. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised all these things for us. Now there's the ocean here. What happens to me? You know, I worship for 10 years and 20 years. You know, but my bank balance is not really going up. And my problem in my family is not coming right. And we have all these things. The same thoughts that you and I have, the people of Musa alayhi salam also had those thoughts as they were going towards that ocean. Because behind them, what are they seeing now? In front, they're seeing the ocean. In the back, they're seeing the army of Fir'aun. And what did the army of Fir'aun say? We're going to crush you. We're going to destroy you. We're going to wipe you out. Where are you going to run? This is how they were talking. And again, a strike of the stick. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes these highways in the water for them to walk. And what does Fir'aun say? Because of me, that is happening. The man just never got it. The man just never got it. Because of me, the highways are opening. Yes, that's why it says in the Quran, the Shaykh read it very beautifully, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِي فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبَوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. When you forget Allah, Allah opens the doors. You want to rely on that application to get more money from the government? Go for it, go for it. You'll be able to get away maybe one time. You want to dominate people? Yes, you'll get away a second time. You want to oppress your wife and oppress your whatever, father, mother, grandmother, whatever, you will get away. You want to take away their social security checks? Yes, you will get away. You have a child that is getting government benefits and the child's maybe not, you'll get away. Yes, you'll get away. But understand, how long are you going to get away? How long am I going to get away? And thereafter, when the wave came, the people of good moved on. And it was game over for Fir'aun. According to some of the riwayah, it was game. Because once he was about to drown, at that point he realized. And Jibreel salam comes and he just shoves him even further down. According to some. Because the mercy of Allah overpowers his anger. Even in that state, the ulama write, if Fir'aun just said, oh Allah, forgive me, I believe in you, I'm wrong, Allah would have forgiven him. And Fir'aun was so, Jibreel salam realized this and he says, no, you've done too much wrong. You've hurt a prophet. You've hurt prophets. You've hurt good people. I cannot bear any more. What is the point here? Allah's mercy in this month, it's coming down upon us. The question is, do we want to accept it? And don't blame shaitan. If you don't want to accept it, now it's you. That is why now we have to ask ourselves, oh Allah, what is my wrong? Oh Allah, help me put it right. This is the month in which the mercy of Allah is being showered. How much of it do we want? Now it's a time to beg our parents, dad, mom, I've done wrong. Forget the wrong they are doing. They will do all types of things. Now it's time for us to go and say, mom and dad, I've done wrong, I'm sorry. Because sad is that individual. You know, I'm so happy Hafiz Usama is here. You know, the greatest gift a father can give to his child is knowing that he's performing the Taraweeh. He leaves his place, Chicago, to come listen to his child over here. That is like a form of acceptance, not only in this world. Many people go to listen to the parents, to a child's graduation. My child's graduation, I got to be there. Graduation is something that's going to be obsolete in 5 or 10 years. Especially if they don't update it. This Quran is forever and ever. So the greatest gift that Allah can give a child right now is the father says to the child, you've done good, my child. I hope you can continue doing good. And the greatest gift a child can receive from his parent is, my child, you have done good. I forgive you. And I hope that this relationship that we have in this world that is good, Allah will help us in the hereafter as well and keep us this way. So the mercy of Allah is showering down. Let us go into it. And inshallah, the more we went into it, we will continue inshallah to be hopefully trying to be as close as we can in following the footsteps of the people of the past that not only have been challenged, but also inshallah have overcome the challenge as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us at all times. Wa akhu da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. May Allah bless this young child for the question. As you know that I don't always take questions like this. So take it easy, don't make it a habit every Friday. But before I come in, you just tell me, do an impromptu.
through speech, that's not my idea.